Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't feel like our window's closing. I keep hearing that. But I think what happens is that sometimes it closes with the current players that you have. But it doesn't mean that it closes overall. And I'm not saying that this is the time period, but we have young players coming that we really like. And we also have ownership that's very kind to us with our expenditures on payroll. So I think if you're in a position where some guys, what you're ideally looking to do is some players age, and they get older. Some of their skills diminish. It's just a fact. Not all, and some at different paces and all. But what you need to be doing is they have young players coming in the meantime. And we think we have some really good young players coming within the system.
The voice of Dave Dombrowski before the Phillies season ended. By the way, Dombrowski going to speak coming up Tuesday at 11. We'll carry that on the midday show. But that was interesting, Hugh, him discussing the idea that maybe the window can close on certain players, but doesn't mean the Phillies window has to close.
Yeah, he's talking about the name on the front of the jersey. He's talking about that and guys in the pipeline that could potentially come up and replace different individuals. Because that's what we're talking about. When we talk about this run, a lot of the conversation we had was talking about whether or not the window was closing or this feels like it's the year and it feels like it's the year because you want to get it done now. And unfortunately for us, the fact that they didn't go as far as we wanted them to go, that's the reality of it. Everybody's going to be a year older.
Yep.
And skills tend to diminish. And you talk about the intangibles of potentially being hurt and having guys hurt for an extended period of time. So, yeah, all of that comes into play.
Well, the Phillies are going to have a lot of players next year that are in their 30s. I mean, a lot. And the reality is most times when you have that many players in their 30s, some decline, some get hurt. It's very rare they're going to have all of them play all the games that play their best. That's the way the nature of the game goes. So they're going to have to upgrade and add around those guys. 215-592-9494. Do you want Topper back? Is it the right decision for the Phillies to bring Topper back? It sounds like and feels like they are going to bring Topper back. He'll be part of, at least the way it's framed to us, he'll be part of that press conference Tuesday with Dave Dombrowski. Do you agree with the decision? And of course, the Eagles. We got a 9.5-point favorite on Sunday. It is weird to say that about the way the Eagles team we've watched so far, that they're 9.5-point favorites on Sunday. We'll hit you with a parlay for the game coming up. I'm going to guess right now, before we work through it, we're not going to put Eagles minus 9.5 as part of our parlay. Feels a little rich for everyone's blood in here. A little bit. Especially because
I'm not going near that.
You won't even guarantee a win.
Well, it's one of those things, to your point, when you were talking about how everybody's mostly covered for the most part. So yeah,
the big underdogs. Yeah,
the big underdogs. So yeah, I think the Eagles are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be the way that we think it's going to be. It's not going to be a comfortable one.
So I got the number on it. So it's through 5 weeks of the season, underdogs of 6 or more points, right? So teams that should lose are 11-8 straight up. So they've won 11 out of 19, these big underdogs, and they've covered. You ready for this? 16 out of the 19 games. So they've all been close, basically. Either they've just won the game, these underdogs, or they've made the game close. I really hope we don't have a close game on Sunday. If the Eagles are only up a touchdown in the fourth quarter, I mean, come on. Watson hasn't thrown for 200 yards in a single game this season. The Browns haven't scored more than 18 points in a game. Hugh, this should be the week they get. This is the get right week. It's got to be.
Yeah, I hear you. But it just feels like something weird is going to happen in this game. I think they win. I will say that. Guarantee a win? No, I'm not going to do that. But I think they win. It just feels like something weird is going to happen, man. It feels like we're going to – I can see people's face in the vet like, what the deuce? What the deuce? I can see
vet.
That. I meant the link.
Oh.
I was having flashbacks.
Yeah, you were. When they were mad at Hugh.
What the deuce flashbacks.
You were thinking of the 98 Eagles, the way people reacted to you guys.
Yeah,
what the deuce every time, every game. All right, let's go to Rob at Delco. What's up, Rob?
Joe, Hugh, Kyle, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey,
man.
Rob.
Listen, I'm going to rip some beloved people in Philadelphia, but I got a quick Eagles point. If they lose on Sunday, is Sirianni back? I don't care if it's a close game or if the Eagles lose by 10 and it's like considered a blowout. Hugh and Joe, if they lose on Sunday, is he back?
Mean for the South? Yeah, I think so.
If it was me, his key card wouldn't work on Monday morning. That's the way I handle it.
Joe's reactionary.
His key card won't work at the end of the fourth quarter as time's on the out. He just get his quarter right to his car and say, look, we'll ship you your stuff. You know what I mean? Hugh, I'm with you. I'm worried on Sunday. I think they're going to lose on Sunday, Joe. And I think this town is going to go ballistic. Okay?
I don't know if we can handle an Eagles loss after the Phillies thing.
I'm worried about playing the Giants with Daniel Jones with this defense, Joe. I'm just telling you, with this defense, nobody's a sure thing.
All right, let's get on the record, Rob. You could be part of this. Hugh, the next four games are Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars. How many do they win? Browns, Giants.
I'm going to say 3-1.
Kyle, next four, Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars.
Yeah, I'll say 3-1 conservatively.
I'm going to say 2-2, Rob. How many are they going to win?
Joe, how many of those games are home games?
Two. This one and then the Jaguars game.
Two. Okay.
I think they're going to go 2-2.
Okay, they're going to win two. Now I'm going to rip some beloved, and I don't think he'll be back. I think they'll fire him if they lose on Sunday. Now, I'm going to come after Scott Fransky, okay? We all love Scott Fransky. I love him. We got the best guys on TV. We got the best guys on the radio.
What is Scott doing? Come on.
Yeah, I don't understand. I can't wait to hear this one.
Listen, because I'm getting calls from all my buddies. Oh, Herb is blowing it up on the radio. He's killing it. So I need a Herb type of phone call, okay, Joe? So
you want to play with me?
Damn right I do, Herb. Let's go. Listen, didn't he make a comment like basically absolving Rob Thompson? Like, it's ultimately the players, right? Like, the players that are on the field have to get it done, right?
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, that's true.
No. But here's where I'm going with this. So what the hell? Rob Thompson here for life then? Like, does it absolve coaches in general? Like, listen, I hope Rob Thompson demands to keep the hitting coach and has a Doug Peterson moment, and we can get rid of him out the door too. Okay, because it looks like he's going to have a press conference after Dombrowski.
Yes.
But I hope he demands, like Doug did, I'm not getting rid of this guy. I'm not getting rid of that guy. And they get him out the door, too. Because I'm done with Topper, okay? So I disagree with Fransky. He made some abysmal. We're going backwards, Joe. The message is not reaching these guys. We're going backwards. I'm done with Topper. I'm done with Boehm. I'm done with Martian Rojas in center. Or I'm done with Martian and... you know, Willie Mays Hayes in left field. You know what I mean? Listen, I want Soto, okay? And if that means blowing away his value as an all-time high now, because we all love Castellanos. Joe, when it came down to it, his true colors came in that last at bat. It just diminished everything for me. His value's an all-time high now, wouldn't you say?
Castellanos probably has more value now with only 2 years left on the deal and ending the season well than he did a year ago. If they want to trade Castellanos, they could probably pull it off.
Hugh, my three words are blow it up.
Blow it
I'm
up.
I'm done. Blow it up.
You're not the only one that feels that way.
Rob, good phone, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Good phone call, buddy. We appreciate it. All right.
He said bye-bye.
All right, so a few years ago, it was 5 going on 6 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, we were able to be loud enough and to be persistent enough as a fan base to get the Phillies to write the check to Bryce Harper. Can we do it again for Soto? Can we drum up enough people that say we need Juan Soto for John Middleton to hand him that blank check in free agency?
No salary cap in baseball,
there
right?
There is none. Now, there's a luxury tax, and if you mm-hmm. go to a certain level, you have to pay. You know, you get taxed on the money you're spending anyway. But no, there's no limit to what you can spend.
I think it could probably happen.
That number starts with what? A 6? Starts with a 5? Goes to a 6?
He's going to be the closest to a billion that we've seen, right?
So Otani got $700 last year, but a lot mm-hmm. of that was deferred. Remember they did that whole weird thing where
he bought somebody's wife a car and all that good stuff? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Soto is probably not going to be that way. It's going to have to be more straightforward. And
give me my money.
He's going to want his money.
Give me my money.
He's been it's almost like when Harper was a free agent, right? He got to the big leagues at 19, so he mm-hmm. got to free agency at 25. It's all for this moment. It wouldn't solve everything, but boy, Juan Soto in this lineup would fix a lot of things. I mean, that guy is an incredible player.
It would get It would keep butts in seats. I'll say that. It would definitely keep butts in seats, and it would have people excited about the direction that the team is going.
Yeah, and you know what? When in doubt, just spend more money to fix problems. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hugh Douglas, if you guarantee an Eagles victory this Sunday, I will point out that Spike from Bristol said you were wrong, wrong, wrong. How's that?
Oh, that was so great. Spike called him out.
She did. She took you to the woodshed, Hugh.
Yeah, Spike won, Hugh zero.
She didn't. I was right. I just had the teams mixed up. I mean, y'all gonna steal. Y'all not gonna let me have that one, but
no, why would we? You read a stat.
I read it wrong.
No, you not only read it wrong, you read it backwards. Completely backwards.
Yeah, but I was still right, though.
No, that's not how it works.
Who's number one total defense in the NFL?
The Titans.
And how many wins do they have?
Context, their quarterback is brainless.
Okay? I don't give a shit.
Boy, my point was made, though.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, let's go on to Rob Thompson. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think he needs to go because I don't think he's the problem. It's definitely a players. And as far as let's just start with Alex Boehm. I think he would just say anything to get those microphones out of his face and get out of there. Now, is he a head case? Yes. But he's the only one that I really saw any improvement from last year to this year. I mean, he's making contact, with all his doubles. You know, he was probably our most consistent hitter as far as being clutch.
So if you look at his numbers, Dave, before you go on, is on a trajectory the last 3 years where it is incremental improvement. I mean, his OPS has gone from 713 to 765 to 779. So they may think he's going to take even one more step, and then we have a really good hitter here. It's just, is he a head case, and can he get over this stuff?
Yeah, I think we need to get a sports therapist on the roster, or actually on the staff, and just have them sit in the dugout and just, you know, talk him down every time he starts to go off the rails. But so like I said, just to circle back, like I don't think you need to get rid of Rob Thompson, but you definitely need to make changes in the lineup. And I don't know how many changes, how big of changes, but you know, I'm saying just get rid of the whole outfield and start over with that, and you know, put Trey Turner into left field. You know, like I think you had mentioned that before, Joe. Put him out there, and then
he did.
You could keep Rojas in center field, but what you do with Rojas is with his plate approach, he's just not allowed to hold the bat vertical. He can only go out there and hold it horizontal and try and get that ball to hit that bat, and that way he'd learn how to bunt. Because when he got set down this year, he didn't learn how to bunt. And, you know, that's not on Topper. That's, once again, on the player.
Well, and it's on Dombrowski because that's the center fielder he gave him. David, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't think we're going to do another year of the Rojas thing.
Yeah, kind of improvement that we need from that position needs to be a little bit more. I mean, I hear you.
Yeah, and again, if
and things are going to change. It has to change. We can't go into this situation again and not make some drastic changes, in my opinion.
Well, that's going to I can't wait for Tuesday when Dombrowski speaks. I mean, that's going to be to hear what he says about and look, he'll deflect. He'll be a GM. He's not going to say I'm trading Alec Boehm, but just I want to get the sense of how he feels and the disappointment level he has in this baseball team after what they did in the division series here against the Mets. All right, let's grab Cody, and then we got to do a little Q&A on this Football Friday. What's up, Cody?
Hey, guys. Just a few quick points here. I think that this team really, I mean, we spoke about it before, but they lack accountability. You see it in the interviews between Rob. You see it in Alec Boehm. You see it in Trey Turner. They're like these Eeyore, like, insufferable babies, especially Alec Boehm. And I know the last caller talked about a sports psychologist, but that's a very real industry that other teams use. This guy, I'm tired of seeing a grown man look like he's about to break down in tears because he can't hit the ball and he's indecisive in the field and he can't handle the pressure. It's like, what are you talking about? You're a grown man making millions of dollars. Get it together. You know, the Kevin Long experiment, it's over. The Brandon Marsh thing, it's over. Rojas, over. I'm tired of 32-year-old quad A guys coming up to platoon. I just want a team that has a serious lineup and can work counts. And the Kevin Long thing, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of that guy. And I know people like him. And I don't think Rob's going to go anywhere. I think Rob's fine. I think he's got another year here. But I do think his bullpen management is awful. I think the Jeff Hoffman decision to keep him in, arguably as bad as Zach Wheeler in 2022, taking him out of that game.
Cody, it may have been worse because at least they had Alvarado at that point who's pitching well. I've already, that was his best season, 2022. They had him for Alvarez. I kind of understood he was going for the strikeout there. Cody, Hoffman had got up like three times in that game. Then he sat down for the half inning when the Phillies were up. You kind of, it's almost like you were watching an accident about to happen with the Hoffman thing, and he didn't react to it.
It was awful. And I told my friend as soon as it was happening, I said, this is the moment that people are going to remember because you can't do that. You just can't. And it was bad bullpen management. Jeff Hoffman, you know, I love the guy, and he'll obviously probably be back next year. But I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the break, but he fell off a cliff. And it's time to accept that some of the decisions that Dombrowski makes, which is not going in at the deadline, or even the Brandon Marsh trade, we have to accept that we might have lost that trade now, especially with JT also falling off a cliff. We don't have someone to replace him, and it's clear that he's wearing down, especially offensively. This team needs to be serious if they want to win the championship that they talk all year about. And it's hard to see. It's hard to watch. It's like watching a car crash because every year it's getting worse.
Yeah, and they're only going to decline more. I mean, that's now they may be able to still win enough games and maybe make a run. And Cody, we appreciate it. But that's Father Time's undefeated. I mean, maybe one of these guys. Maybe it's Bryce because of the way he takes care of his body. Just he's been doing this since he was 5 years old. Maybe he defies aging, Hugh. Maybe he has five more good years left. But most of these guys are not. Like, you know, within a year or two, they're going to be on the other side of it and not be as good as they have been, you know, in their past years as a Philly. All right, before we go any further with the show and all your phone calls, we do have our football picks, guess the takes, and our parlay for Sunday coming up in a little bit. But, Hugh, it is a Friday. It's a football Friday. That means it's time for a little Q&A.
Hey, and Q&A is brought to you by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
All right.
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Hugh and A on 94 WIP.
Man, I thought we'll get the music.
I jumped on a little
you
bit.
You jumped.
Right. We're good. Nat, can we do it now?
You guys want to go?
Yes. We're professionals, all right?
I was talking about fighting.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, no. Don't anybody try to do all that.
Okay, Hugh. I have two very important Hugh and A questions this week.
Okay, what you got?
Hugh, what was your reaction when you saw the Eagles' new tackling drill, which from my, and this is just as, I'm just a lowly high school player, was a long snapper. It looked like they ran up to each other, didn't tackle each other, and called that a tackling drill.
Yes.
What do you make of that?
I was a little surprised. You know what's funny? When I saw it, you're talking about the video,
yeah,
correct?
The video, yeah.
I added Seth.
What'd he think of it?
Then he wasn't surprised because the week before there was the donut.
Yeah, we tackled donuts.
Yeah, we were tackling donuts. And then on top of that, Mark McMillan chimed in.
What'd
he
say?
He said that this is league-wide, and then you saw other people working on tackling. The bottom line is this. Tackling has been egregious all across the NFL. It's not just our team. It's damn near every team in the NFL. And it made me remember when Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, he tried to implement rugby tackling. And they did a pretty good job of it in the way that they were tackling, bringing guys to the ground. Because a lot of times, especially with the new CBA, guys aren't – they don't want to tackle. And they don't want to be as physical as they once were. The game has suffered for that, but they're trying to get workarounds and work on tackling because – the one thing I do recall when I played way back when is that we had so much contact that tackling was second nature. That was one of the biggest things that you learn. And as you become a professional, you kind of move away from that a little bit. So they're just trying to get back to the basics. They're trying to get guys to learn how to tackle or to tackle better without actually doing it on a day-to-day basis.
I do, and we can laugh about this one and the donuts and how the Eagles are doing things. I do feel bad for these coaches in some aspects. I think deep down they would want to have real tackling drills.
Yes.
But you said it with the CBA. They don't want to get
– ain't nobody trying to tackle nobody,
and
man.
And you don't want to be the coach that gets your player hurt that you
in
need
tackling.
For a tackling drill. But then you said it. We watch the games, and no one tackles.
But you know what's funny? I can't recall – now, it can happen. I'm not saying that it can't. I don't recall – too many people being hurt in tackling. Because we used to do something else called tough thud. Like when the running back hits the hole, you might butt him up a little bit, but you don't take him to the ground. but you put a little pepper on it. They don't even do that anymore. Because I think people are calling, like guys are calling the NFL when they do stuff like, boss, he trying to kill us out here.
You're not going to believe. Can I have the Players Association on the phone?
Yeah.
They had us tackle.
I am telling. Guess what they had me doing today?
What's that, tackle? Aren't you a football player?
Oh, my gosh. So they only want to tackle on Sunday now. So, yeah, there's that. But I get it. They're trying to get better at it, man. And it's just funny because the last couple of weeks, Seth has been, he's been on their top about that. He's been talking about that every video that I've seen about Seth. He talks about the tackling and the lack of tackling and all that other stuff. So it was just funny to see them try to change the drill in order to help these guys understand the fundamentals of tackling.
All right, one more Q&A question today. Have you ever been dumped by an agent? Because our buddy Hassan Reddick was yesterday. CAA, Creative Arts Agency, parted ways with Jets holdout pass rusher Hassan Reddick. We always hear Hugh of the other side of this, right?
Yeah.
A player gets a new agent, dumps the agency, goes somewhere else. It's pretty rare, it feels like, where the agency says, we don't want to do anything to do with you anymore.
Well, I think it's a bad look for the agency. And I think that's why they did it, because you have other clients that you're potentially trying to get.
Yep.
And one of the conversations that you're going to have, especially if you're representing Hassan, is what happened with that? And so they tried to distance themselves as much as they possibly could. I think this has gotten to the point where they're looking at it and they're thinking this is not a good idea. And Hassan Reddick has dug in. I said this at the beginning of the year, Joe. It felt like when he decided to do it the way that he did it, that he made up in his mind that regardless to what happened, that he was going to stand on business in this situation. And he's doing it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that say it's stupid, and they don't understand why he's doing it. Why is he walking away from $17 million and things like that? We've seen people do crazier stuff for less. And I don't pretend to understand it, but I do understand from the perspective of being a man and believing in whatever it is that you're believing in and going that route.
Standing on business.
Standing on business. But if it was me, you already know me well enough to know. I'm going to go get that bread, Joe. I'm going to get that money now.
The Hugh I know is not giving up the bread.
I'm like, what?
No, not the Hugh I know. All right. We do it once a week. We try to guess the takes. What is everyone talking about after another week in the NFL? Hugh, what are you thinking here? Monday, what's the take that's out there?
People are going to be talking about the Commodores, man. They're starting to pick up a little bit of steam. I know I talked about that last week, and they're playing against the Baltimore Ravens this weekend.
Yeah, it's a big test.
They might be considered bona fide after they get this win.
Oh,
this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens.
You're officially going to be the Commander's guy on the show now. Say, if they win that
game.
See,
why you got to do it like that, well, though, Joe? I'm not the Commander's guy.
Hold on.
I'm just looking at it.
I just said they were a threat to win the East. If they win this game, they might be a threat for the one seed.
No, this is a big game. This is a big game.
You know, here's how big the game is, actually. NBC tried to take the game for Sunday Night Football, and CBS was like, nope. You can't have it. That would be a fun game. Is that 4 o'clock? Because I'd like to watch that after the Eagles game.
1. Ravens is one, yeah.
Oh,
that would probably be on TV in the box.
Yeah, I'll have that on the small screen. But okay, I'm gonna have to rewatch that later on. All right, so my guess to take this week is I think after the Cardinals go to Green Bay and play with the Packers, maybe even upset them. I think that game's gonna be close. You know what people are gonna realize?
What's that?
Kyler Murray's back, like back the way he was a few years ago.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A 50-yard scramble for a touchdown last week against the Niners, and I'm like, I haven't seen him move like that since pre-injury.
So basically, it's going to be the narrative is going to be it probably takes a while for a young quarterback to kind of get going, right?
Well, that, and he had some injuries he had to overcome.
Yeah.
Is this spin about Jalen? Is that what you're doing here?
No. I'm just saying.
This
could be a little spin about Bryce. It could be a spin about Bryce Young. That's all. Just saying.
Nobody's spinning that one but you. That ship is sailed. All right, yeah, I think Kyler Murray is going to show everyone he's all the way back. He he could be the best quarterback on that field Sunday against Jordan Love. Kyle, what do you think? You guess the take for week six.
This is going to turn into like the hill that I die on.
Uh-oh.
After this weekend, it's Russell Wilson time in Pittsburgh.
Already?
They're not beating the Raiders. They're going to lose to Aiden O'Connell because Justin Fields is going to be terrible, just like he was last week. And the Steelers are going to have no choice but to turn to Russell Wilson.
You know what's funny?
He's going to be on the sidelines this week. Finally fully healthy, baby. He's coming back.
That one is probably going to have some legs, too, because there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh ready to pull the trigger on Justin Fields already.
So you're telling me Sunday it's Justin Fields against Aiden O'Connell?
Sunday.
And Justin Fields slash Russell Wilson against Aiden O'Connell, because Russ is going to get in that fourth quarter.
If that game was in my backyard, I'd draw the blinds. I'm not watching that.
That is terrible.
That game stinks out loud. All right, 215-592-9494. We will give you a same-game parlay coming up for Eagles-Browns in a little bit. Back to the phones, though. We got Jason in New Jersey. Hey, Jason.
Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller to the show. Thanks for having me on. Hugh, just want to give you a big shout. I'm a big-time fan from back in the day, so appreciate
you
being on the show up here in Philly, man.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate calling and listening, Jason. What's on your mind today?
Respect you a lot, too, Joe. I don't think it's Rob Thompson, man. I mean, this all starts at the GM. And not for nothing, this goes all the way up to John Middleton, too. Like, he signs these checks. We got a $1 billion payroll. Did you guys tell me you're going to get embarrassed by the Mets like that after you go and win the East? Come on, man. You can't be doing that. I mean, this is all – it starts at the top, and that's John Middleton handing out all this money to guys who honestly are getting older and not performing. Like, we got to get younger. We need a little bit of roster turnover. Like, everybody's saying we're stuck with Trey. Bryce is who he is. You know what I mean? I don't think we get rid of Castellanos. And outside of that, like, Schwarber we keep – outside of that, like, we got decisions to make. So that's just kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I'm curious to see what they do. But it's not on Rob Thompson. I think he's doing the best that he can. I mean – I've heard your takes all day, and Hugh, I'm on your team when it comes to that.
Well, thank you very much.
I like you thanking people for being on your side of the
debate. I appreciate it because you know I've been taking a lot of heat this
week. Well, you deserve the heat today. I mean, deep down, you do.
Just pick it on you. I've been listening, man. We got to
hold this guy accountable. Jason, are you guaranteeing an Eagles victory Sunday?
I'm not, and I'm with you on this one too. What Eagles team is going to show up on Sunday? That's what I want to know.
Thank you.
Okay. This defense is abysmal. Deshaun Watson and that whole experiment has been over. We all know that. We all see it. They just haven't pulled the trigger. This guy is about to get benched. You know what he's going to do? I honestly feel he's going to embarrass our defense at home. That's how I feel about this defense.
I mean, come on, man.
Every game they've won has been tight. Yeah, the defense kept them in the Saints game. And the Green Bay game. Outside of that, the defense
looked like world beaters in that Saints game.
Yeah, one out of four. They did look
they
good.
Did.
So,
again,
Jason, if you're right on that, we got problems because this should be the one offense they should be able to stop.
I'm with you. I want to feel confident that they're just going to go in there and take care of business. But you know what? They haven't done that all year. And even with the games that they've won, with turnovers, what hurts, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. My man's got to protect the ball. I love Jalen Hurts, but, dude, you got to protect the ball, man.
There's no question.
It cost us in the playoffs. It's just, I don't know. He's hurting us at the, like, most pivotal times. And I'm just like, every time we see they get something going, he shuts it down. I felt the same way with the Phillies, you know, going into the postseason, they were 33 and 34, I think, in the last 67 games or something like that after, like, the All-Star break or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's sub 500 baseball. How do you expect, even granted, I appreciate the winning us the East. It means a lot to me, especially because the Braves have had the stranglehold on it. You know, I hate the Braves, and I was happy that we did that. But, again, you get the bye. You hope that the rest gets them healthy, but they weren't playing good baseball going into it, and boom, this is the result of it. You know what I mean? Like, they're one of those streaky. They've been that team for the last 3 years where they're streaky. If they're playing hot and consistent baseball, it's good, but just like in the World Series in Game 6, dude, bats went silent. Rob Thompson had no answer. That's not on him.
Yeah, Jason, I see it very similar.
Against Arizona last year.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's those guys. They got to be better, and Nebraska got to be better. Jason, we appreciate the phone call. Good stuff there, except agreeing with you. We can't do that. We can't have that.
Yeah. I know today it was a bad look today, but still.
Can we say this to circle back to the Slay thing?
What's that?
If he lets Watson beat him, he might as well go do podcasting full time, because then we're done here. Like, you can't – you big creepy.
They've been dropping – they
can't beat them.
Their receivers have been dropping a lot of balls lately, too.
They have had
some drops. Amari Cooper.
Cooper
and –
Jerry Judy.
Man, I had to drop them off of my fantasy team.
Like you did like Malik Neighbors.
Oh, God, that looks pretty good for me now. Come on now.
Terrible.
Hold on.
How does it look terrible? He's in concussion protocol.
He's going to be a top wide receiver for the whole year.
Not this year.
You could have put him on IR and just waited a few weeks.
You know what? That was a move that I didn't realize that I had.
So Kyle missed this. Hugh during the show earlier, he must have got the notification that Neighbors is out this week. Showed it to me with this, like, I told you so.
Oh, no. I had the look of... See, all the decisions that I make aren't bad ones.
But you could have just IR'd them.
All those decisions, spontaneous decisions that I make, they're not bad all the time.
You're a mess, dude.
Yeah.
A mess.
All right, quick thing based on our last call before we go back to the phones. So we're going to push this Juan Soto thing, right? And we should. He's an all-time young player. And
600
he's
yams. Yes.
And we expect Dave Dombrowski to go and tell John Middleton, hey, we should try this. And I think we all expect John Middleton to say yes. At some point, do you think John Middleton looks back at Dave and says, Dave, I've spent $1 billion already. Haven't I provided enough? Like, I don't mean that as a criticism to Middleton. But Hugh, I wonder at one point the owner pushes back on the GM and says, how much more money do you need? I gave you $250 million a year to build the team, and you need $600 more?
Well, I don't think that this is the time to do it, especially when you're an owner that says, I want my trophy. And if that is the guy, if you convince me, if I'm the owner, and you convince me that this is the move that's going to put us over the top, then how do you say no to that? I'm not saying that it is, but it feels like this is a huge move. And if you don't make it, somebody's probably going to make it that's your direct competitor.
Oh, well, that's true. The Mets could get
you
him.
You know what I mean?
I wonder the stomach that Middleton has for it. Like, it's one thing, because a couple years ago, remember the story was he went to Dombrowski went to Middleton and said, hey, Castellanos is still a free agent. He's still out there. We could go get him.
Saw it in the newspaper.
He saw it in the newspaper, right? That's his own thing. But that was $100 million. I think it's a whole different thing to go to the owner and be like,
it
listen,
is, but you know what the old
600.
Saying is? And I've been proven to make, like, I don't agree to this, but I've heard people say, scared money don't make money. And those are normally the people that gamble and lose a lot. But, you know, you gotta spend money. You gotta spend money. Scared money don't make money.
I mean, he doesn't need Dombrowski to answer the question, how much more money do you need? Is this not enough? Like, we just saw them lose in the NLDS. It's obviously not enough.
But because he wasted the money before.
Well, right. I mean, if you're John Middleton, your only answer to this, besides firing Dombrowski, is to throw more money at the problem.
Scared money don't make money, Kyle.
Yeah.
Scared money don't make money.
I would like to be a fly on the wall when Dombrowski goes to Middleton and says, Soto's worth it. I need $600 million. And if I'm Middleton, I'm looking at him like, you came here 2 years ago and you said Turner and Walker are worth $400 million.
And you know what you say when you say that? But this time is different.
I promise. I promise this time you will not regret it.
This time is going to be, it's not going to be the same way. I promise you.
Well, the other thing that Soto does, it's you're spending the $600 million, if that's what it is, to try to win a World Series now. It also kind of extends your window.
It does.
He'll be younger than anyone on this roster.
It's almost a reset of the Bryce thing. It's
right.
Doing it again,
right.
But like 6 years
later.
But you
have a younger cornerstone here. I mean, Stott will be 27. Stott's 27. Soto's 26. Like, you can almost talk yourself into resetting with another young core.
It is crazy that Soto is younger than Stott and Bohm, and he's been in the big leagues longer than
they have. So if you think about it, like, the 600 is almost like a double Bryce Harper tenure. Like, you pay $300 for the chance now, and then $300 for the window to extend later.
I don't think this is going to happen, but Middleton's going to go broke, listen to us. Just pay for him and pay for him.
We're tossing out
money. Don't make money. $600 million.
All right, let's go to Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, Self?
Hey, look, I'm going to say this, man. First of all, I wasn't here before, but I'm here now. Rob Thompson do have to go. And I'm going to tell you why. He's no Charlie Emmanuel. He's too lax, too laid back, too reserved. And the team is taking on that persona. They have no hunger. They have no dog. They have no fight. They can't be called the fighting Phils when they lay down like that. This ain't the first time. His decision-making is horrible. There's no reason why he should have put a ball in that game and took Suarez out. Like, why? Why would you do that? You know what I mean? He was having an all right game. And you go put somebody, and then you take him out with bases loaded to put another man on. Like, his decision-making is horrible. and it's not the first time. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing about me and Kyle just went back and forth, and I'm sure your listeners are going to feel some type of way, too. I don't care about Harper. Him and Turner are prima donnas that's overpaid because they don't show up no more than Castellanos and the rest of them. Y'all like them big names. When I say y'all, I'm just talking about the public in general, not y'all specifically. I'd rather have a bunch of no-name dogs that fight and hungry than to have a bunch of name players that's prissy and paid, fed, well-fed, and have no hunger in them. You know what I'm saying? I don't see the hunger in Harper. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't see the hunger in Turner. I don't. I think they're overpaid. But the problem here is where me and Kyle got into that, because when I say all that flack y'all give Jalen Hurts because he got paid and what he's doing, I don't see that same energy with Harper and Turner and them.
You know I have it for Turner. I've had it for Turner for 2 years. He's way overrated and way overpaid. Bryce has played really exceptionally for the Phillies.
But he don't show up when he need to show up. Well, you're supposed to be as one of the highest paid players on the team. I'm not expecting Schwarber to be the leader. I need you to be that leader. I'm not expecting for what's the boy they call what's his name? I can't remember his name, but they say he's the hype man. He's the one that get him hype. No, I need Harper to
Garrett
do that.
Stubbs.
All that money you getting paid, you the big name. I need you to do that.
The vibes police. Garrett Stubbs, the vibe master.
Yeah, that's not who he is, though. I mean,
you were talking about Garrett
Stubbs. Yeah, and I get it. So if we approach the phone call, here's the reality. I can't change their personalities. Their personalities are what they are. I need Bryce Harper to hit, and for the most part, he's hit. Baseball's not the same thing as the other sports. We can't expect him to get a hit every time in the big spot. Now, I need it a lot, and he's provided a lot. But it's what we're doing to Harper now is almost as if. Like, let's use Embiid for an example, right? Let's say he averaged 35 points per game his whole playoff career.
Mm-hmm.
And then he missed a shot at the end of the game, and we say he's not clutch. Like, do we expect him to average 40 to hit every shot? Bryce did hit 333 in this series. Now, he didn't get a big hit, Hugh, in game number 3. We needed it. He struck out.
Mm-hmm.
It stinks. But he did hit a home run in game 2 to ignite a comeback. Like, we can't just expect him to get the hit every single time.
And if you're putting it in perspective, the quarterback on an NFL roster is more valuable than I would say Bryce is in the position that he's in.
Of course he is.
And when you look at it, baseball is a game. When we talk about the Mets, for example, we talk about their hitters as a whole. We talk about that lineup as a collective.
Yep.
We don't talk about one individual. Now, Bryce is that guy. But when we talk about the fact that we lost to the Mets, it's the fact that they had hitters up and down that lineup. The quarterback, for example, the fact that we're talking about the Commodores and how they're having a resurgence is all because of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got the same guys, for the most part, that cried about Eric Bieniemy being there after winning the Super Bowl. They went out and got a new coach and a quarterback that they sat down at the table, the dinner table, about 3 of them, and tried to figure out which one to get. And they figured out the one that they needed for their team. And that's all anybody's talking about. And he's only one guy. So it's I hear what you're saying, Self, but it's just football is different. And if you get that one guy, Brock Purdy, give you a ton of examples of guys who looked like they were that guy and changed the fortunes of the franchise. Brock Purdy was one of them. The fact that we're talking about C.J. Stroud from last year in the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have been bottom feeders for the most part. J.J. Watt had them in a position where, you know, they were considered a playoff team.
But that was a while ago.
But that was a long time ago, and he's a defensive player. He was the face of that franchise for a long time. But it's the quarterback that makes it go. So that's why, you know, it's not fair. I get that. But Jalen Hurts is the straw that stirs the drink.
The best example of why we just can't treat it the same as Jalen, or just use Jalen because that's what Self did, right? In the fourth quarter, the Eagles are down 4 points. Whose ball? Whose hand has the ball every play?
Jalen.
On 2 nights ago when the Phillies lost, Bryce Harper watched from the dugout. The 9th inning, it was the game, right? Like, imagine in football, if we're like, well, it's not Jalen's turn. He can't go in the game. It's like Bryce could have been a little better. I'm not disagreeing. He struck out against Manaea in the 6th inning, game 3. But he had to wait his turn in the ninth inning, and he never get up again. Like, one guy in baseball can only do so much.
Well,
yeah.
Why can't people wrap their heads around the fact that, oh, like, keep the same energy for Hurts and Harper? Like, the reason we don't is because there are different energies are appropriate. One guy comes up in the lineup every nine times. Jalen Hurts has the ball in his hand on every single play.
He directly affects
Joel
the outcome
Embiid
of the game.
Joel Embiid has the ball in his hands every single play. Like, that's why these guys get it more. By the way, I just want to point out, Jalen Hurts makes twice as much money per year than Bryce Harper. Twice as much. People look at the $300 million or $330 million, and they're like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. But guess what? It's over 13 years. Baseball players get the long contracts. The quarterbacks,
and they get the guarantee money.
Yeah, the quarterbacks almost have to perform like in a microwave like within the first 3-4 years of that contract. He is making $50 million. That's why he gets held to a higher standard.
And trust me, if Bryce had been a disappointment here, everyone would kill him. I mean, like, he's not just loved for...
People did kill him for his first part when he was here.
I actually think that this city is very fair. It's just about performance. Now, like, pandering helps, sure.
I was about to say the pandering.
But that doesn't overcome performance. If Bryce Harper, if he's not performing,
they don't care how much pandering he's doing.
If Bryce Harper had Trey Turner stats in Philadelphia, he would not be beloved. I mean, let's be real. He's won an MVP here. He hit the home run to put him in the World Series 2 years ago. All right, enough with that. Can we come up with a parlay for Sunday? Can we do this? Can we hit one? Let's try. FanDuel Sportsbook. That would be our second. That's right. I mean, if we hit one every five or six weeks.
I got one for you.
What do you got?
Bryce Huff,
stop.
A second half.
Stop.
What?
You can't put that in the parlay.
Wait a minute.
And we would have said no anyway.
I'm already made a fool of myself. Might as well keep the streak going.
You know the Browns last week allowed 7 sacks?
So why can't I have a second half of Bryce Huff?
You can, but I'm not betting real American dollars on it. Real money?
See what's going to end up happening? That's the hot take. Joe should have took the second half in the parlay.
You want me to bet real money on Bryce Huff getting a sack?
$2. $2. Somebody out there, bet Bryce Huff whatever the sack number is for him. Bet that.
I'd rather keep the $2 by a Kit Kat and put it on Bryce Huff.
Kit Kat's $2? Where are you getting your Kit Kat
probably
from?
Dude.
Kit Kat's expensive now.
Yeah, man, inflation hit, dude.
Wait a minute, Kit Kat, I don't know if you can get no Kit Kat for $2.
Hugh, you're going to need more than a dollar is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Let me see how much these Kit Kats cost. Now you got me looking up Kit Kat costs.
How much is the most you spend on a Kit Kat? If I really wanted one, I'd spend $2 on a Kit Kat.
You know what's funny? When I try to buy a bunch of stuff so I don't know the exact price, because you know chips are expensive now. Chips are like $5.
How much are Kit Kat, too?
Kit Kats right now, Snickers $1.97, yeah, so you're about right.
I'm telling you, man.
That's without tax. Yeah, it's $1.97.
The candy market is passed you
by. Be careful, everyone. We're 3 weeks from Halloween. You guys are going to be lighting the wallet giving out those candies.
Hugh's not giving out candy.
Oh, no.
This is why it doesn't have a place. All right, back to the parlay, all right? Where are we going today?
I just told you.
No, we're not doing that one. Not doing that one.
I got one that'll juice this thing up.
What do you got? Go for it.
A.J. Brown's going to come back in a big way.
What's that mean?
And drop two of them.
Two touchdowns.
On the Cleveland Browns.
All right, throw it in. Two touchdowns, A.J. Brown. All right, do we think they're getting off to a hot start Sunday? Are we going to have smiles in the first quarter in Lincoln Financial Field?
Okay, let me ask you this question.
What do you got?
What have they done to make you feel so confident that they're going to make us smile in the first quarter?
But the coach and quarterback are in harmony now.
No, I didn't ask you that.
We can ask you the same thing about Bryce Huff.
Because I believe it.
Well, I believe it.
Because it's about time.
Well,
and this team giving up 7 sacks.
Eagles minus 2.5 first quarter.
Let's go.
3-point lead at the end of the first quarter. Boom.
I'll take that.
Okay, we'll put it in. AJ, 2 touchdowns. Eagles minus 2.5 first quarter. All right, how about the Browns? Are the Eagles going to hold? No, not Bryce Huff. The Browns team total is 16.5. Are they going to hold the Browns to under 17 points?
Wait a minute. They haven't scored like 18 points all year, right?
They haven't seen our defense.
No, I'm just saying. That's the one stat I got right today.
Yeah, that one. That's the one we got.
I got that one right.
I think the Browns go over the number.
They could do it in garbage time.
You think so?
Yeah, over 16.5. They could do that in garbage time.
Okay,
yeah.
They scored 17. Eagles 20-something, Browns 17.
Yeah, say it's 28-10, and the Browns have 6 minutes left, and they have a slow drive that ends up putting a touchdown on the board.
Yeah, we put Hugh in and throw us the quarterback.
But in that scenario, they might go for two and then the 16.5 is in the balance.
Now, we're overcomplicated.
That would feel like you're trying to beat the spread,
that
too.
That is very likely.
I still say over 16.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, they'll get the two-point conversion. Okay. Then. They'll get even 18.
We'll be rooting for the 2-point.
We will. All right. Over Browns point, 16.5. Eagles minus 2.5 first quarter. A.J. Brown has scored 2 touchdowns. All right. As I do the math quickly on this, if the other 3 legs hit, feels like the game's got to go over, right? Yeah. If we think the Eagles win, but the Browns are scoring at least 17, and we have a first quarter Eagles number, 2 Brown touchdowns, how about over for the game? Over 42.5.
Like, yep.
All right. Here's the parlay, 38-1. Over 16.5 Browns points, Eagles minus 2.5 first quarter. A.J. Brown has scored 2 touchdowns, over 42.5 on the game total. Our parlay, 38-1 over at FanDuel Sportsbook. Hugh, before we hand it off to the afternoon show, we wished we had a game 5 tonight, but we do have a game number 1 tonight.
Yes.
Of the Flyer season. You got any Flyers thoughts for us?
No, we were talking about how many points we were talking about this morning. The average points.
Their point total for the season.
Yeah, for the point. You know what? I was thinking about this. And I know that a lot of times when you ask me questions like this and I throw out numbers willy-nilly, I can kind of blow your mind. I have a strong feeling that this year, because I think the highest point total, I forgot which team it was, but it was like 112 in
the
hockey.
The Rangers.
Last year,
112. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling 91 points for the Flyers.
91 points. That would be, so their total on FanDuel is 85.5. That would be an over.
Yeah.
So we're betting the over.
I'm betting the over.
That's like fringe 8 seed playoff team.
You know what I was thinking? Because last year, they almost made the playoffs and they fell apart down the end. Down towards the end.
Plus 190 on to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and don't get me to pronounce the young players' names that they're
Michkov.
Michkov
and then today.
The other
time.
Guy. Yeah, give
down
me another.
Road.
Matvey Michkov. But I will tell you what, Torts was really excited about what the young guys could potentially bring to the table.
Was he? Okay.
Oh, he was like the most excited I've ever seen him in a press conference.
All right, and I'm going to ask you about that presser when we get off there.
What? What's going on?
He was.
I just want to know what you saw.
He was. No, he was.
Okay.
He was excited. I'm
sure
no, I'm saying.
Torts isn't
excited. I'm a little nervous because I blew the, you know.
You're good.
Stats. So I'm like, wait a minute.
We ended with a little Mr. Black Hockey Flyers.
So they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's a guarantee. Because Mr. Black Hockey said so.
All right, that's it for us. We gotta go. I think I'm so glad Mr. Black Hockey has spoken on this. You guys have a great weekend. Go Eagles. We'll talk to you on Monday at Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.